This program is presented by the MCTV Network, a service of the City of Midland, Michigan. This presentation coincides with programming on Midland Government Television, covering government affairs in the City of Midland.
The Midland City Council is the city's legislative body that sets policies, approves budgets, determines tax rates, and adopts ordinances and resolutions to govern the city. It is made up of 5 elected officials that represent the wards in which they reside, and councilmen are elected to 2-year terms. The mayor is elected from among the council members by vote of the city council. City council meetings are held at 7 p.m. 2 Mondays per month in council chambers at City Hall. This presentation is provided by the MCTV Network, a service of the City of Midland. Replays of this meeting can be found on MGTV Channel 188 on Charter Spectrum, through Channel 99 on AT&T U-verse, or on demand at www.cityofmidlandmi.gov. Select meetings are available on MCTV Network's Government Affairs podcast channel.
Good evening, and welcome to our January 13th, 2020 meeting. This is our first meeting of the year, first meeting of the decade, and we're glad that you're all here. So will you please stand and join us for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Erica, would you please call the roll?
Honorable Mayor Donker.
Here.
Councilman Arnosky.
Present.
Councilman Wasbinski.
Here.
Councilman Hall.
Here.
Councilman Brown Wilhelm.
Here.
All right, thank you. Before we go get really into our agenda, I would like to talk about an event that occurred yesterday, because we lost an incredible individual from our community, Alan Ott. He was a giant. Mm. Now, I don't know that he ever would have called himself a giant, but he truly was the kind of guy who impacted lots of lives and will impact this community well into the future. And he impacted those lives in the work that he did with Chemical Bank. He was a banker for 55 years. And during that time, he helped lots of people be successful. He helped businesses be successful. He helped them get what they needed to do their business. My dad was a farmer. I remember helping him get the money he needed to buy a seed to plant the fields. He helps families be successful buying homes or sending their kids to college. He really cared about people that the community bank served, and he loved community banking. Working at Chemical Bank was my first job out of college, and I think that he set for me the bar of what it meant to work hard. My parents told me to always work hard, but when I got in the real world and he showed me what it was all about, I knew that that's really how you had to do what you do every day. He was an amazing man, and he was a mentor to many, many people. In addition to his work at the bank, when he retired, he continued to be involved in the community, serving on foundations, most notably the Pardee Foundation, and he served as the treasurer for the Gerstacker Foundation. And during that time, you could see how much he valued partnerships. He saw that when we come and work together, we can accomplish so much more. And so many things in this community we have because of the work that he has done, from the Tridge to Washington Woods to the beautiful little red bridge down at Curry Park. He is someone that many, many people, all of us in our community, I'm sure he's touched our lives in some way. So I would like for us to take a moment of silence to remember this man. Thank you. And our condolences go out to Gene, his wife, and to his family. And he will be remembered for a very long time. So with that, we'll move into our agenda. Does anyone on council have a conflict of interest with anything on this evening's agenda?
No, ma'am, here.
Okay, seeing none, then we'll go to the consent agenda. All resolutions marked with an asterisk are considered to be routine and will be enacted one by one motion. There will be no separate consideration of these items unless a citizen or council member so requests during the discussion stage of the motion to adopt the consent agenda as indicated. If there is even a single request, the item will be removed from the consent agenda without further motion and considered in its listed sequence in regular fashion. Can we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
First and second. Anyone like an item removed from the consent agenda? Anyone from the... All right, then seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, that passes 5-0. That takes us to public comment. This is an opportunity for individuals to speak on a topic that is relevant to council business, but not on this agenda this evening. Any public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll continue down the agenda. That takes us to item number 3, which is the second reading of the recreation ordinance. And Karen Murphy's here to tell us about that.
Thank you, Mayor Donker. So as you recall, in our December 16th meeting, we went through the first reading of the ordinance, so the recreation fees. This is an annual process that is spearheaded by the Parks Commission. So the Parks Commission received the staff recommendations on the fee changes for the upcoming year. They held a public hearing, and then a joint meeting was held with the City Council and Parks Commission in December, and then brings us to our reading of the ordinances. So the proposed changes for the following year include a $2 per player increase across the board for both adult and youth softball fees, an increase in city forest chalet rental from $45 to $50 an hour, a similar increase in Banshaw rental from $75 to $80 per hour, a revision in the scope of use for picnic table rentals, trash receptacles, the stage and metal event fencing to reflect that these are for community event use only. Picnic shelter rentals would be increased by $5 across the board, and I won't go through all of these, but it's a standard $5 per rental. Tournament fees for softball, we would change the non-refundable field deposit to $75 per tournament regardless of the tournament size. We're recommending an increase to all the field rentals. The $2 rental would go up from $40 to $50 a field. The 4-hour would go from $50 to $60 a field. And the full day rental would go from $95 to $110 a field. Also, we'll be introducing a new daily complex fee if someone wants to rent the entire Optimist complex out. That would be $300 for the day. And new this year, our softball players aren't always the tidiest of sorts, so we are putting in a cleanup fee of $200 at the discretion of the director if they are to leave the fields in disarray. In the area of swimming, we're recommending a small increase here. We haven't increased swimming fees in 5 years now, so we're asking for $1 per day on both the adult and youth senior passes, a $5 increase on swim lessons, a $10 increase on the competitive swim lane rental fee. And then on the passes, likewise, small increases. The adult pass, we're recommending an $85 to $90 increase. The youth season pass from $70 to $75. A family two-member from $120 to $130. And then each additional family member from $35 to $45, with a maximum cap on the family from $190 to up to $220. Also, we are asking to increase the limited adult passes, 15 passes, from $50 to $60, and the youth from $40 to $45. So this is the second reading of both the general recreation fee and the swimming fee ordinances. So tonight, the ordinances would be before you for consideration and adoption. If they are adopted, the fees would go into effect upon approval.
Any questions, Ms. Murphy? Okay. Any comments from the public? All right, seeing none, then Erica, would you please read the resolution?
This action gives second reading and adoption to two ordinances to amend fees for various recreation offerings.
Can we have a motion to accept the resolution?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have first and second. Any discussion?
Yep.
All right, then all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, that passes 5-0. So thank you very much, Karen, and would you please give our thanks to the Parks and Rec Commission for the work that they've done on this. We really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay, that takes us to item number 4, which is our financial report. and audit. Mr. Keenan is here to introduce that.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So tonight, we're here. You have a resolution before you, probably not before you, but the resolution in the agenda packet is to receive and file this report. The comprehensive annual financial report, which is the big book that you received, there's also a smaller report, a single audit report, and we do this, it's more of a compliance audit. We have this because we have a number of federal grants, which requires to have a compliance audit, a single audit. We also have programs through the state of Michigan, MDOT, which require separate reporting. This is also included in here. So those items have been provided to you. The legal authority for having the audits is included in our charter. It's also part of the state act and single audit act because we have federal funds. The auditors, while they spend a lot of time with their finance departments, they actually don't work for them. They work for you, so they're here to report their findings to you. And what they're going to tell you is that the audit report has an unmodified opinion, which means things are as it should be. Sounds pretty dynamic, I know, but that's what I like to see, an unmodified opinion. So it basically says things are presented fairly in terms of the position and the changes in position in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. So the report for the year before, when I was here last year, we submitted it to the GFOA, and we received the Certificate of Achievement and Financial Reporting Award for that one. We're going to send this one in to try to get the same certification if we can. So we've done that 30 years in a row, 36 out of 38, and hopefully we'll do it for four more, at least. Inside joke, Brad?
Yeah, I mean, Dave, you're killing me.
So I'm pretty confident that we'll get there. Big thanks to the Finance Department. Deanne Bragg Smirnin is the backbone up there that just cranks out the work, and then Tiffany is not far behind. So between the two of them and their staff members working with the auditors, we were able to get the audit done. So the presentation from the auditors, David Youngstrom, is a principal for UNO. He's been in charge of our audit for a number of years. He's gonna use a series of graphs, which I think you also have, mm-hmm. like this. They'll be up there too, so the choice you can follow here or up there. And I'm not going very far, so if there are questions between he and I and Deanne, we'll be able to answer questions, hopefully. So with no further ado, Mr. Youngstrom.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Well, thanks for having your first 2020 meeting. It's kind of special that way, right?
Yeah.
And I understand you guys spent a lot of time together this weekend talking a lot of finance, so I've got a lot of detailed and thorough things to go through.
But okay.
No, really, certainly an overview of the financial statements. We'll go through that and kind of like we've done in the last several years, but really a really good report from us to the work you guys have done in the city, thanking Dave and Deanne, Tiffany, and their entire staff for all their hard work. So we're pleased to report the audit. There's a couple things that are not in this. This is really a financial report that I'm going through. Part of our audit is looking at internal controls, and we kind of change that up every year, try to make it a little bit unique. Some things we have to do, but this year we looked at adjusting journal entry testing. We looked at retirement data testing to make sure all the data being submitted is correct in our actuarial reports. We did some utility billing testing this year, which was a little different. We traced everything from billings right to the general ledger over and over again to make sure it was posting correctly. We did the manipulation of bank statements and investment statements, looking at the origin, confirming the ones to make sure we're getting original documents, just another test we do to try to make sure we're getting valid information. We looked at revenue recognition and how we recognize revenue in different areas. We did physical inventory at several sites this year, which we don't do that every year. We just kind of thought it would be a good year to do that. We did, I think, water, streets, parts, and then signals. So those areas, we went out and did actually physical counts to make sure that that is. And we come back with all that testing and all we've done. We have no significant deficiencies, material weaknesses in internal controls. We have strong controls in place, and we have no management continents. So nice job for that. And so we're always looking. We brainstorm with management to try to figure out where we should look at sometimes, and then we kind of pick a few things on our own. So we kind of get some good ideas through that. Dave alluded to a little bit our federal single audit. We have a little over $1.4 million in federal awards. About $720,000 of that is in the federal transit department there, and we tested the DART program this year, and we had no findings or question costs. compliance continues to get harder and harder every year. There's it's either right or wrong, and there are 63 questions we ask in our questionnaire related to that as we go through and test that program. So no findings, no nothing. So good job in that area. So those are just some of the things we talked about. Dave already alluded and stole my thunder, 30 years, awesome, 30 years in a row. Unmodified opinion, of course, that's the highest level of assurance we can give. It's a clean audit, and that's what you're looking for from us. So we'll get her started, if I can figure out how to make it work. All right. So our net position, this is our governmental activities. This is all of our governmental funds pooled together, full accrual basis. And if you look, the total went up about $6.6 million to total about $70 million. And then you have the chart down below, looking where this is our equity, our debt position. Our investment in capital assets was up about $2.5 million this year, which is probably the biggest increase. Highways and streets, that's money set aside for that, is up a little bit as well. DDA is pretty close. Cemetery operations pretty close. Other, again, that's just a little bit of other revenue, but 1.8 there. And then if you look at our unrestricted, we do have a deficit in this area. And if you look back to 2015, that's where we first went into a deficit, and that was when we implemented GASB 67 and 68, which is the pension liability. That's when we pulled that out of the books. 3 years later, a year ago, so you track that number across, 39.8 to 43.9, 41.1 to 62.2. In 2018 is where we implemented GASB 74 and 75. So we picked up that obligation, which dropped that net position to a larger deficit. But overall, we're up to 70.8 million, and we'll talk a little bit more about the funds that may make that up as we kind of move forward. Our activity expenses, looking at this area, the area of public safety, you can see we had if you look at that, 17, 18, and 19, we had some really three big changes there. It dropped a lot in 18. We had some actuarial adjustments we put through into our actuarial report, and it came back with a number of 15.6 this year. We had a $6.5 million pension adjustment due to some litigation that went through that arbitration, actually, and we had to pick some of that back up. So that's the biggest area in public safety. That number went up to $23 million this year. From 15.6 the year before, where it was at 19. So you kind of got a three-year change there that's just very unique. All the other numbers are pretty consistent year over year when you look at them compared to each other, but that's just a big change I wanted to point out overall when you look at the total activities. Starting to focus on our general fund, our largest fund. Revenues total grew in the general fund by about 3.5%. And the numbers are pretty consistent year over year. When you look at 28.8, this 28.3 and 28.2 in property taxes, intergovernmental charges, again, very consistent from 1 year over the next. Again, in a good position. We had a good year this year overall in all of our funds. Where we spend our money, we spent a little bit more than we got in, about 3.8% this year. We did have some additional dollars coming in for retirement this year we had to spend. And again, you see that area in public safety of 18.4 compared to 17.9. We also added a couple of resource officers onto the force this year, which we had some of that cost in here as well. So that's where you see that uptick in public safety. So overall, just over 43 million compared to 41.4, about a 3.8% increase, a little bit higher than our revenue increase, but pretty consistent. What's left is our fund balance. You can see about 23.1 million total, pretty big number. Unassigned about 11.8 this year, but it's about 100 days of operation unassigned this year compared to 69 the year before. The big red area is our committed numbers, and I'll talk about that in a minute. And the blue is the encumbrances. It's money we've committed to purchasing things in the next fiscal year, and those are set aside through the budget process there. We got in the blue. And then in our red in a committed area, we have budget stabilization about 4.5. And our original 1920 budget had a use of about 4.7, so about 9.2 of that is already set aside for the future years. Looking at the water fund, another major fund here. Our unrestricted net position has dropped the last couple years down to just under $9 million, just over $9 million this year. That's down a million, so it's trending down a little bit, but you can see our investment in capital has increased. So we're investing in infrastructure, and it's building in that area. So the net increase is about 1.2 million. So we're putting more into our systems in the water fund than we're depreciating out. So that's good, we're rebuilding that. That's important to do that. And it takes a little bit of operating cost to do that. The water fund expenses. see our revenue line at the top decrease just a little bit. The biggest area of increase, and really the only one that's really unique, is we had an increase in operations about $700,000. That's pretty much raw water. And then the Saginaw Midland Water Authority, we recognize a portion of that entity's equity on our books. And we did have to increase our expenses for that by about $700,000 this year. And that's really the increase in operations. Everything else is pretty consistent year over year.
David, could you explain that a little bit more, please, about how that works in terms of the Saginaw Midland Bay City Water?
Yep, Saginaw Midland Water Authority. So we're an owner, a part owner in that. Yeah. So when they have their audit, which is done every year, we take that audited number and get our share of their equity, and it goes into our books. Sometimes that goes up, sometimes that goes down, depending on their operations in that year. So when we recognize that share this year, we had to book it some additional expenses. In addition, I think there were additional water charges, water increase charges this year that we had to pay out of that number as well. So it's really an asset of ours, a partnership, if you will, but we own a piece of it.
So that's about $700,000?
That was a change this year, about $700,000.
Okay.
Looking at the wastewater fund, again, we were in a deficit position in this year, and that happened when we recognized the pension and other post-employment health care liabilities, and that's about $8 million, just so you know. So being in a negative 2.4 is not unusual. Our investment in capital continues to climb. We're putting more infrastructure, which again, increase efficiencies. And overall, we increased about $600,000 in total in the enterprise fund and the water fund, wastewater fund, excuse me. Looking at the revenues and expenses, pretty stable revenue here. You can see it kind of dipped down in 17 and is slowly trending up in 18 and 19, just slightly above inflation there. You can see we did have an increase in operations here as well, which again were related to some of the, we had some mains, sewer mains, and some sewer lines we had to do a lot of work on this year. So that was about $800,000 increase. Otherwise, normal operations was pretty consistent, but that was an unusual year for that. All the other expenditures, pretty consistent year over year. Again, consistent is good. Taking a look at our city millage trend, we compare it to some other cities that have income taxes as well. What are we taxing? The other entities actually went ahead of us this year by 0.01. We've kept it flat for the last 2 years on our tax base, you know, and we know we work hard to manage that with what the resources we do have, and we do a really good job of doing that within our operations. So, again, you can see that kind of mirroring the last 3 years, very close last year, and then this year they're at 15.15 and we're at 15.14. Again, including some of those cities also have income tax. Our tax base, you can see where that changed in 2016, changes in the personal property taxes, where they're collected. You can see the residential increasing up, the non-residential, and we've been pretty steady the last 2 years, kind of getting into a little bit of a funnel in the last couple of years. So very steady year over year. We'll see how that holds out over the course of time. Our obligations, again, we did have some changes in our pension status this year. We did a big correction we had to do, or a big adjustment we had to make this year. And our funded percentage in the general employees went down about 5%. Police and fire did go down about 3%. These retirement plans are measured at different dates just because of the way the plans are. One is at a January date, which is the general employees plan, and June 30th for the other. So they had the police and fire had 6 more months of pretty good return the first half of the year, and our general employees will get that next year in the actuarial report. And that was down, like say, 5% to 3%. Our health care, again, we've got more assets and a little more obligation as it kind of goes, and that our funding percentage actually went up about 1% here, up to 53% funded from 52. So moving in the right direction, big numbers, hard to get your arms around it. You guys are pretty proactive in what you're doing in that. You made some changes to the plans a couple years ago to try to impact that, but it's been hard work to get there. I know we're still working at that. Oops, went the way. Last slide I have is kind of our future challenges. I talked a little bit about personal property taxes. We've been pretty good about getting our tax base back that we had captured in the past from the state. We'll see how that goes long term. It includes the investment of some of our entities within the city itself, what they invest, and we get back on that. We get some funding issues for our aging infrastructure. We talked about the water and wastewater fund kind of moving in the right direction. Those investment assets were up there a little bit. You look at our governmental activities and all of our business activities together. You got about 50.8% remaining life in 19 compared to 51.3 the year before, and then you look 10 years back from 18, it was at almost 58%. and then business type at 49.7, 50.7 last year, and it was at 60, almost 61 in 2008. We're all faced with rising health insurance costs. It's something that's out there that we have to deal with. And our retirement plan benefits, I know you're very active in that, really aggressively looking at those, and made some good changes there to try to make that better. And we had our unfunded pension liability that showed up $12 million this year, which again is part of that adjustment we talked about earlier, and then some of the market return is the other piece of that. And then our unfunded post-employment benefits is about $45 million. So those are our legacy costs, about $135 million in total. So it's something we're working to get better at.
Dave, quick question on the lifespan. Yeah. Is that based on accounting or tax schedules, or is it based on a physical estimation of their lifespan?
It is based on accounting schedules, estimated life when you book the asset on.
So it actually might be longer or shorter?
It could be longer, sure, depending on. Yeah, okay. It's definitely an estimate, though.
Okay.
It's an estimated useful life, so that's your point. And that's really all I have for you. Pretty consistent year over year, a very strong year in almost all of our funds. Good information to have, and I think you should be proud of all the hard work that was done. Is there any questions I can ask for counsel?
Any questions for Dave? No? Thank you very much. We appreciate you being here this evening.
Thank you.
So thank you.
Have a good rest of your evening. Thank
yes, you,
you
too.
I love the comfort of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
So this is a receive and file. Any questions for Mr. Keenan? Okay. So Erica, would you please read this resolution?
Even file for public examination the comprehensive annual financial report and single audit report for the City of Midland for the year ended June 30th, 2019.
Can we have a motion to accept that resolution?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion on that?
Just and I love the way that they do this audit. They always pick something out of the blue basically to check on that. So it's just not doing the audit, but they're actually checking different things where there might be potential problems. So I do appreciate that. And again, appreciate all the work that you and your staff have done on this to show how good we are.
Great. Now get that filed for that next award. Okay, great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome very much.
All right then. So all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, we accept that. Yay, again. All right, that takes us down to item number 5, which has to do with a gift, and Selena Tisdale's here to tell us about that.
Fun to be on this side of the staff audience for a change. But so tonight I'm here with the Downtown Development Authority to show you and ask your acceptance of a gift from the Patricia and David Kepler Foundation. There it is. So hopefully you've had the chance to get downtown and enjoy our lovely new streetscape that we've enjoyed now for a couple seasons. In 2017, Downtown Midland's streetscape project planned for some added amenities that would enhance the offerings brought to us by our newly designed downtown. Now, these were offerings that, as we went through the design process for our streetscape, we brought in the community and we asked them to think big. Think of neat things, the icing on the cake, if you will, for our new streetscape that we could add to it and that we could ask community members, smaller businesses in our community and community organizations to donate to so that they too could own a piece of Main Street and our new streetscape. And some of those ideas came back to us in the form of cool things that people had seen in other communities, stuff like our fireplaces. So our two fireplaces were brought to us as added on amenities after the streetscape construction that were donated through a crowdfunding effort. The flexible seating, Adirondack chairs that you can slide up to and enjoy the fireplace with friends, move that seating around based on how many people you have joining us, you for your evening out in downtown Midland, that was an amenity that we added. The pergolas were donated to us from Chemical Bank and Three Rivers Corporation. Again, ideas brought to us from other communities that people had enjoyed when they visited downtowns throughout Michigan. Coming this summer, or this spring, we will be adding gaming tables, two sets of gaming tables that you can come down and enjoy checkers or chess. as you shop and dine in downtown Midland or just come down to enjoy the environment in your downtown community.
Where will those be?
We have two locations that we're going to put those. One will be in the Midland Daily News area, and the other will be somewhere across the street, closer to Riverside Place, near the western end of Riverside Place. So, great opportunity to come down and enjoy some games while you hang out in downtown Midland. And then, of course, the East End Linking feature, which was finalized under construction this fall and will be programmed for the first time coming in the spring. So these were on our list of things that we wanted to accomplish as part of our streetscape amenities. And the one thing that we were still working on and waiting for a funding source to come through was an entranceway feature. This would be a feature that we would add to Main Street to let people who travel along the M20 corridor know that they were in the downtown community and invite them in to enjoy our downtown. We are very fortunate that Patricia and David Kepler and their foundation stepped forward and said that they were interested in funding this item for us and giving it to us as a gift. So the entranceway feature is gifted to us by the Patricia and David Kepler Foundation. It's valued at about $160,000. These monuments will stand at the northeast and southeast corners of Main Street and M20. They will include two 10-foot high monuments and a 4-foot high monument sign stating downtown Midland. They'll be lighted and they'll be made of a brick and metal finished with a patina that you see throughout a lot of the constructed buildings in downtown Midland. This will give you a little idea of where those will be placed. So if you're looking at the screen, the left-hand side of the screen would be about where First United Methodist Church is. The right side would be the Santa House area. There's another view again with the Santa House area on the right and First United Methodist on the left. And there again. Because these were thought of as part of the whole streetscape scenario, electrical, spacing, all that good stuff was actually worked into and designed as part of our streetscape construction. So everything is ready to take on these new monuments that we've been gracious enough to receive from Patricia and David Kepler. Fisher Contracting Company will be the contractors for this project. They were our streetscape construction folks, and they will integrate this nicely into the construction that we had for the streetscape. Construction is expected to begin this spring or as soon as the weather seems to give us a nice break, and will take us about 4 to 6 weeks to construct. So tonight's action will accept the generous gift of a downtown Midland entranceway feature from Patricia and David Kepler Foundation and express our appreciation for their generosity to the Midland community.
Thank you. Any questions for Selena?
Yeah, Selena, who designed it?
That was through Smith Group. So Smith Group did our overall streetscape construction design. They were with us during the public input sessions. They actually helped us create this list of amenities and then as part of it developed the initial design. When Patricia and David Kepler came on board, they had some design modifications that they wanted to see, so they helped us through the revisions as well.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions for Selena? Okay, thank you very much. Any comments from the public? Okay, seeing none, Erica, will you please read the resolution?
This resolution accepts a gift of a downtown Midland entranceway feature from the Patricia and David Kepler Foundation.
Okay, can we have a motion to accept the resolution?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have first and second. Any discussion?
You know, if you look at our downtown 5 years ago versus where we are today, it is just phenomenal. The growth, the change, all the people that you see. I don't think I'm ever down there on one weekend where there's not something going on and it's just packed. And I have to also agree with Selena. We are very fortunate with the foundations, the Patricia and Dave Kepler Foundation, you know, partnering, supporting our vision for where we want to go, and We should be very grateful.
Yeah, I think it's also worth commenting about the Keplers in this specific instance. Again, I think, you know, they make, this is a donation, and if you go to any charitable fundraising around town, you'll see their name frequently as a donor. You know, they don't always brag about it, but, you know, certainly if you do these things, they're generous with their money, and they do a lot locally that way. I mean, they also make investments, personal investments. They can make investments anywhere in the country, and they choose to a lot of times to invest in businesses here. So, you know, they're really a great couple to support the community. So we ought to be thankful for that, as well as the generosity here in this particular instance. So shout out to them.
I think we're all in full agreement with that. What a wonderful example of a public-private partnership. I think that's really a wonderful way to get things done. We are truly blessed. Okay. Did you vote? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. That takes us now to item number 6. Mr. Kay.
Madam Mayor, thank you. As you are all well aware, a week ago Saturday, we spent a fair bit of time here on a Saturday morning through late afternoon talking about the budget objectives in particular, but in general, a very long agenda of City Council initiatives, City Council projects, and general issues of general discussion of the city level. This is a very quick overview of the different things that we talked about. I didn't have room to put them all on one slide, even with the project updates. I just threw that we had 8 more of them up there. But in general, we talked through a lot of different matters which are of high priority, including the ongoing operations and the changes that are taking place at the Grace A. Dow Memorial Library. Certainly an issue of high concern, not only to us at the city level and the city staff and city council levels, but also the public in terms of the storm and sanitary sewer activities that are taking place and will take place into the future, and then a number of other ones without going through all of these. At the end of the afternoon, we get down, of course, always into the project projections, which is presented by Dave and his team in terms of what we anticipate at least will be the parameters within which we can work for the coming budget year. And ultimately, the end of the day, it comes down and is returned to you to come up with the council directives that you provide back to us for inclusion and direction in the budget for the coming year. Just to really summarize things at a very high level, you know this, you've heard this from us before. It was reiterated through the presentation that Mr. Keenan gave, that in general, our costs continue to increase. We can't control all of those. But the concern, of course, is the part where the growth, the cost growth is in excess of the rate of revenue that we are generating. So the gap is continuing to grow a little bit. You've heard Dave say before in previous years, but that continues to be the case, that the gap between those is getting harder and harder to close each particular year, and using savings from one year into the next to balance our budget is becoming more and more difficult. That continues to be the case this coming year. Personal property tax reimbursement continues to be very helpful. We are not complaining about it at all, but we are very cautious about the fact that we want this to be looked at only as a short-term solution and not a crutch upon which our budget is built, not only this year, but into the future. Other issues that are of concern to us is that the taxable value growth, before we've been really flat and we had a slight uptick this year, which is good, but it's still very slow, and so that's not something upon which the continued increase in cost will be balanced off. We continue to be concerned that there's an adequate fund balance left and that we don't want to dip into those and utilize that once again to balance the budget, if at all possible. Legacy costs remain a priority to you. You've expressed that in your comments. They certainly at a staff level, when we're coming before you, continue to be a primary focus. And then again, as I mentioned earlier, the stormwater response to the floods in particular in 2017, the continued work that is being done remains a need and an important factor for our community, but it also is a pressing financial need that we need to address today and into the future. As always, when you look at this, the mission of the city, the goals of the city are very standard. They're repeated. They continue to be our guiding focal point. So when Dave and his team are looking at the budget ideas, they're looking at the goals of economic sustainability, the outstanding quality of life that as a city we continue to strive to provide, and then always being an effective steward of the resources that are provided to us from our taxpayers. So with all of that, there were a number of directives that ultimately came out of the discussion that you as council had, so hopefully we have captured those properly. And tonight at the end of this, we'll be asking for a motion to receive and file this, as long as these reflect what in fact we did discuss. So the first is that the public services are to be maintained at the highest level that we can, being financially responsible under the current economic and budget conditions that face us. This has been a goal of the city for a number of years now, and there has been no directive from city council, at least previously, or a week ago Saturday, to change that. We did have some very specific directions and discussions that took place, beginning with the stormwater response and the funds and how do we address all of those. So the first directive of council was to provide and set aside $100,000 of additional funding, which is approximately 0.05 mils, that will be used only for flood response programs and activities. This would go to the stormwater fund. In the wastewater fund, you additionally assigned $500,000 of additional funding, which is about a quarter of a mil, once again to be utilized for flood response programs and activities. And just as a reminder, the discussion that we had around both of these is that this is a millage increase that we would be looking at, but we are looking at this hopefully for a short term. In other words, this will not be a perpetual one. We will continue to evaluate this every year, with the goal being probably in 3 to 5 years, we would hope to extinguish this and move on from it and no longer have to put that forward. We also had concerns relative to Act 345 and the pension plan, the annual required contribution, or ARC. You'll hear me utilize that term as well. So in this particular case, there's an additional almost $400,000 of additional funding that's going to be required to satisfy that ARC. And this will have an impact on the city's millage rate by just short of 0.2 mils, but there's not going to be an offset. Thus, there is a potential increase to the city's total millage rate because of this particular contribution that is required. And then just, this is not so much a directive in terms of you decided specifically for this, but we did speak specifically to the personal property tax reimbursements from the May 2019 and again the upcoming May of 2020 reimbursements that we would utilize $1.6 million from each of those. You'll recall we had the discussion around whether we do $1.6 million, $1.9 million. Council ultimately selected the scenario that had $1.6 million from each of those reimbursements. In addition, we pointed out that we would expect to be able to save approximately $750,000 from the current year's budget to help balance the upcoming budget year. In other words, these are the savings that we sort of claw back, that we don't spend, that we are able to effectively reduce our budget as approved by not having to spend or reducing the costs of doing that. So we expect that we'll be able to claim about $750,000 from doing that, and that if there is more than that that we can actually save, that you would redirect that towards the improvements necessary here at City Hall. We had a fairly long discussion about some of the upgrades that are necessary at the building itself and how, as good stewards of the building, we needed to put forward an investment into the structure itself. And then I think this is the last one, that the anticipated maximum millage rate for the fiscal year 2020-21 would be 15.5460, which is just over 0.4 mil increase potentially. Of course, we'll be looking at that as we go through the process, but that would be the maximum. We did not specifically discuss that number when we were in front of you, I don't believe, on Saturday, but felt based on all the decisions that were made that it was appropriate to put this forward so that the public would be clear on the direction that council was providing. And then finally, this is not a directive, but just a simple reminder. Our OPEB, which is our other post-employment benefits, the annual required contribution, we will continue to pay all of that. The Act 345 required contributions, we'll continue to pay all of that. The MERS, again, annual required contribution, we'll pay 100% of that plus more. So we are being, as you heard from David in his presentation, solid in terms of the financial approach we take, being aggressive looking at those numbers and not simply letting them float along and hoping we come out well at the end. You are being, for another year, at least, very aggressive in that context. So Madam Mayor, those are the recommendations that we believe encapsulate all of the council's discussion as of a week ago Saturday. And we would recommend that if you agree with our summary of them all, that that be received and filed, and then we would publish that as your goals for this coming year.
Okay. Any questions or comments?
It aligns with my notes.
Okay. All right.
Hopefully it's just a repeat, right?
Yeah.
You heard it all Saturday, so.
Okay, great.
right.
Yep, thank you. Any comments from the public? All right, seeing none, Erica, would you please read that resolution?
This resolution approves the City Council budget objectives for the fiscal year 2020 to 2021.
Okay, can we have a motion to accept the resolution?
So moved.
Second.
You have first and second.
Third, fourth. No, third. I'll just
any discussion
that.
On that? All right, then all in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that passes 5-0. All right, wow, that takes us down to new business. Does anyone on council have new business?
No,
Keenan, any new? Oh, did,
no, okay. I said no.
Any new business from you?
No.
All right then, so you know we have no new business, we're adjourned. Thank you very much.
This program is presented by the MCTV Network, a service of the City of Midland, Michigan. This presentation coincides with programming on Midland Government Television, covering government affairs in the City of Midland.